You're listening to Betting with Bobby on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Quarter of a mile to go. Three of them battle for the lead. Flying Pacer between horses. Spectacular Bid now up to take the lead. Spectacular Bid on the outside. Flying Pacer second from between horses. How rewarding on the rail and Rosie Seville. They come to the 16th pole. Spectacular Bid drawing away to lead by three. Spectacular Bid in front. Bill Shoemaker aboard. Spectacular Bid wins the Malibu Stakes by four. Flying Pacer second. Rosie Seville third. The time, 1 minute and 20 seconds, a new track record.
That was the 1980 version of the Grade II Malibu Stakes, the first of nine straight victories in an undefeated four-year-old season for the Great Spectacular Bid. And this, of course, is Spectacular Bid Week, presented by Keeneland Sales all week here on HRRN. Welcome back to Betting with Bobby. I'm Bobby Newman, pleased to be joined now by Doug Arnold, the owner of Buck Bond Farm, which is where Spectacular Bid was foaled back in 1976. Doug, when you hear those stretch calls from, well, let's face it, some 40-ish, 45 years ago, does it still bring back chills?
It does. I really did not own the farm at the time, but it's what a great horse. Should have been a Triple Crown winner. We all know that.
Yeah, to me, and Spectacular Bid was right at the start of me becoming a racing fan. And to me, as far as I'm concerned, he's the best horse I've ever seen in my lifetime. Overall, 26 wins from 30 lifetime starts, made over $2.7 million when it was harder to make $2.7 million in racing. There's no $20 million Saudi Cups back then or $12 million Dubai World Cups. There was no Breeders' Cup until 1984 and those Triple Crown bonuses and things like that. But you mentioned could have been a Triple Crown winner. Won the Derby, won the Preakness, got a little bit tired down the stretch after being close to a fast pace in the Belmont, but undefeated during his four-year-old campaign, and obviously always going to be associated with Buck Bond Farm. What does that do for the resume of Buck Bond Farm, knowing that you always have that on the docket? This is where it all started for Spectacular Bid.
Well, it really is a very, very important part. One thing that you may not know, that Buck Bond Farm has had two Kentucky Derby winners, another horse named Alan Adale, and has had numerous champions, you know. And when I first leased Buck Bond in 1990, I had six farms I was leasing, and I had to move some horses off a farm when a guy died. And I moved them in November to Buck Bond. And, of course, we all know that your grass and everything is dying in November. And within 30 days, I could see my horses look better just from being on that farm. You know, that's how good the soil is. And, you know, one great thing about it is that, you know, my neighbor produced a two-year-old champion, Randomized, and across the street, Mo Donegal won the Belmont Stakes. So, you know, in that little area, you got three Grade One Stakes winners last year. So, and we had Candide that won the Alcibiades last year. So, yeah, you got to be able to breed the right kind of horses and have the right kind of mares and everything. But they have to, you know, they have to be born in the right kinds of places too. And so I feel very privileged to have it, you know.
We're going to talk a little bit about Candide, who certainly has a big chance coming up later today in the Ashland over at Keeneland. Spectacular Bid raced in an era where horses ran a lot more. The really good horses ran a lot more than they do these days. Do you have an easy answer as to, you know, why we never see these kinds of runners, the horses that are 26 for 30 and running it seemingly every 2 weeks? I mean, Spectacular Bid himself, I believe, raced 14 times before he ran in the Kentucky Derby in 1979.
I'll tell you, there's no real easy one answer, but I can tell you four or five things that actually, you know, in my opinion, kind of show why it's like that. One of the things is that in the old days, if a horse couldn't run, they got rid of it. They put it down, what have you. You know, if a horse was unsound, certainly did the same thing to it. And horses that ran 6, 8, 10 times, they didn't even go to stud because, you know, they felt like they were unsound horses. So on the female side and the male side, you got a lot of that. You have a narrowing of the genetic makeup of the horses now. You know, we used to have a lot more lines. They're breeding a lot more mares to each one of the stallions. So that becomes a problem. Just like any inbreeding, you over a period of time will create weaknesses. You know, like the Habsburgs and the Hohenzollerns in Europe had problems with hemophilia, bad eyes, whatever. So I think all those things really, I don't think it's that complicated. And I think that, you know, we just have not coveted longevity in horses, and the sales have come into play so much. So you can take a horse that couldn't run and breed it to a horse that maybe ran 4 times, and you could get maybe a big figure for it. And everybody says, hey, we need to propagate more of this, you know? So we've got a situation where we've created a lot of the problems that we have. I mean, it's reversible, but, you know, it's a difficult thing. I'll tell you, for instance, I have always loved and coveted the Teddy line. And the Teddy line, just to give you an idea, the Great Calumet had Bull Lee, Bulldog, and you had Sir Galahad from that line, Roman, lots of great horses. That line is almost completely eliminated. I have the only horse that I know that stands in the state of Kentucky from the Teddy line, and that's a horse named Skip Shot, who was by Skip Away. And, you know, when you look at him, he looks like a throwback kind of horse. You know, I think that sometimes you see a horse like Curlin, and, you know, he's an old school kind of looking horse, you know, real rugged, rough horse with lots of bone. So it's kind of sad that we've gotten away from there. It's a shame. And I wish that people would come back to wanting to breed for soundness, you know. That used to be a big thing. A horse ran 40, 50 times, you know. So I think that explains a lot of it. So when you have a horse that runs for a long period of time, you know, it's a great thing for our business.
Yeah, unfortunately, as you say, it just doesn't happen very much these days. And certainly the better the horses are, it seems the less they are running in the last 20 years or so. Well, we've got a really good filly race coming up a little bit later on up at Keeneland, the Grade 1 $600,000 Ashland. Really good-looking group of three-year-old fillies, including one that was bred right there at Bug Pond Farm in Kentucky, Candide, for the Eclipse Thoroughbred Partners, trainer Todd Pletcher and Luis Saez. She won the Alcibiades last year as a two-year-old filly and ran a very good third, beaten less than a length in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. This will be her first start of her three-year-old campaign. As the breeder of Candide, how closely do you pay attention to everything that she's doing?
It really, I live and breathe it. I every time she works, it's like, oh, my God, I feel so good. And we've watched this thing. One of the things they've done, I don't want to put words in their mouth, but from what I understand that they've done is that, you know, they saw that she ran really good her first start. And so they thought that she would run really well off of a layoff. And, you know, that, so they, she's kind of stayed out of the limelight, you know, because, you know, the other horses have kind of come to the forefront. So I saw that she was 6-1 in the morning line. You know, I'll be betting her big time at 6-1, you know, and one of the things, and of course we watched it a lot closer than other people may have, but in the Breeders' Cup, she just kind of stumbled a little bit coming out of the gate. And so she had to run behind the pack the whole time, go 7 wide on the turn, and was catching everybody at the end, got beat less than a length and a half for all of it. So, you know, that bodes well, you know, for tomorrow and also for the, you know, for the Kentucky Oaks, you know, provided everything goes well. So I think she's a filly that, you know, she didn't change leads. You know, that's certainly of concern. But I think she's been training really well. So I look for a big, big effort.
Speaking with Doug Arnold from Buck Pond Farm. One more thing about Candide and really fillies in general. Obviously, winning Grade 1 races is a big deal no matter who the horse is. But when it's a female winning a Grade 1 race, what does that do as far as, you know, exponentially for breeding rights and money down the line?
You know, we play this game pretty hard, you know, and I take great satisfaction. We've won two Grade 1 stakes at Keeneland, and to win the Alcibiades there in front of the home crowd and everything like that, to me, I mean, I don't know that there's anything more important than doing something like that with the rich tradition of the Hal Price Headley, starting Keeneland and that being named after, you know, one of his premier broodmares. So it means everything. It really does. And I think it just gives everybody a little bit more credence when they're looking at your horses to say, you know something, you know, maybe I'll make two more bids on this horse just simply because I know he produces racehorses. So, you know, and everybody knows people that, you know, breed horses on a regular basis don't come up with good horses. So it's a badge of honor to have those kind of horses, but it also really bodes well for the sales coming up this year.
Doug, really appreciate you taking the time. I know it's a busy day for you. Good luck later today with Candide in the Ashland, and who knows, maybe we'll see you the first Friday in May at Churchill Downs for the Kentucky Oaks. Thank you so much, my friend.
I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.